Hello, welcome to NC Asia and American Ministries Podcast. My name is Sammy Ju, and I'm your host. This podcast is to highlight the life and ministry of Asian American leaders and to network them for advancing God's kingdom in North Carolina and beyond. Today we have Moses Junalagada as a guest. Moses is a student at Southeastern Theological Seminary and he's doing MDiv and MA in Biblical Language. And he's also part of Mahabad Ministry, Sunday International Together Ministry, and he's also helping refugees at Cedar Point Apartment Complex. And Moses is from Guntur, India. Hello, Moses. How are you?
Good, sir. How are you?
I'm very good. It's so good to see you again.
Good to see you.
And
too.
Today is the first episode with you. I'm very excited. I mean, I know you already, but today I want to know more about your personal story.
Awesome.
Are you ready about that?
Yes, sir.
Awesome. That's great. Now, my first question for you is your family story. So, can you tell us about your family?
So I come from a Christian family. My parents have been Christians. Our family has been Christians for about six generations before me. So I'm a seventh generation Christian, even
wow.
coming from India. So that is definitely a grace of God and, you know, His mercy that I was born into a Christian family. So coming from such a heritage, I grew up hearing the gospel because my parents they stressed the importance of the gospel, and they just brought me and my brother up in the gospel, teaching us the Christian truths right from the young age. And as for my family, I have two parents and a younger brother who is married, and my parents are currently in Greenville, South Carolina. My dad is pastoring an Indian church there. And my brother lives like 40 minutes from them in Simpsonville, South Carolina. And him and his wife, they work at BMW. That's my family.
Mm, that's great.
Yeah.
So is your car BMW?
No. I wish.
Well, I saw your father
mm-hmm.
playing sitar.
Sitar, yes.
Yeah, so is he a professional sitar player as well?
Well, he wouldn't call himself a professional, but he is definitely a skilled sitarist. Yeah, he's been playing it for about even before I was born. So he's been playing it for a long time, and he's definitely played it across the United States.
Wow.
Yeah. So
I heard him playing one time. It was very, very inspiring.
Yeah.
Very good.
Yeah, it still gives me goosebumps every time I hear him play. Yeah,
sure. Great. Second question. I love this question. How did you become a follower of Christ?
Yes. So God is gracious and He is kind, you know. And as I was mentioning earlier, I was born into a Christian family, and growing up, I heard the gospel truth almost every day. We used to have our morning devotions, and it was the summer of 97. And we were having our everyday morning devotions, and our dad was sharing, my brother and I, he was sharing us the story of Noah and the ark. And basically he was talking about how only the people in the ark were saved, and how people outside the ark were not, they died in the flood. And he basically, using that story, he shared with us the gospel for, I don't know, the millionth time, but this time it clicked because it was so graphic, you know. Mm-hmm. He talked about how, like, heaven is the ark, Jesus is the only door, because mm-hmm. that ark only had one door, and anybody who goes in has to go through the door, and Jesus is the door. So he talked about how, like, everybody outside the ark died because they're sinners, and how I am a sinner, and how I need Jesus if I'm to get to heaven. And so he basically shared the gospel truths then. I didn't know much theology then, but I was 8 years old. But all I knew is I was a sinner, and that apart from Christ, I am doomed for hell. So, and I knew that Jesus is the only way to to get right with God. So I asked Jesus, mm-hmm. Lord, save me, because apart from you, I have no life, and I want to be alive. So I prayed the prayer, and I asked Jesus to be my Savior and Lord that day, and just a deep sense of joy that I've never felt before. And not even, I felt that kind of joy very few times, but just that abundant joy just filled my heart, and I believe that the Lord saved me then, and wow. Yeah, it's been a rocky road since then, but the Lord has been faithful, and He has held me in His hand, yeah.
Wow, that's great, joy of salvation.
Yeah.
Awesome. Now, you're in the seminary, so I'm sure you received some kind of calling from God. So how did you sense God's calling in your life?
So yeah, I think it was when I was 18 years old, and I was at a youth camp in Hyderabad, India. And it was at that youth camp that the Lord used Revelation 2:4, you know, you have lost your first love. Because growing up, like, even though I was saved at a young age, I backslid a little, and I wasn't living the life that God called me to live. I didn't do anything bad or anything, but just didn't live the life that God called me to live. And but it was during that youth camp that the Lord finally got hold of me and made it clear to me that Jesus didn't die so I can live life for my sake. He died so that I could live for His sake. And it was then I knew that whatever I'll be doing, I have to, like, I'm doing it for Jesus. And I am here to build the kingdom of Jesus, not my own. So I would say it was around that time that the Lord called me to vocational ministry. Yeah.
Well, what is your life verse?
My life verse would be Colossians 3:3. For I have, for you have died, and your life is hid with Christ in God. So that is my life verse, which I try to remind myself every day, and might be funny and also a little bit creepy, but I try to conduct a funeral service for Moses every morning and say, Moses, you're dead today. Jesus is alive, so live for Jesus. With the life that you're living, it is Jesus who should be living through you. So that's what I try to do. I fail miserably every day, but the Lord is gracious, He's merciful, and He's faithful.
Amen.
So, yeah, He is.
That's great. Who is the biggest influence in your life?
I would say my parents, definitely, yeah. I have had, you know, God has been kind. He has given me many mentors through my years. But definitely the top two would be my parents. They've just, ever since I was young, they just not only taught me the biblical truths, they lived it in front of me. Every time our family went through a trial, I've seen them handle it in a way that honors Christ. And in a way, I don't know, it's just, you know, when you have such testimonies of God's grace in front of your eyes, it's very powerful. And yeah, I'm definitely grateful to God for my parents and for the truths that they've taught me through just their teaching and their lives. So yeah, my parents.
How long have you lived in the United States?
So I have come to the States in the fall of 2010. Mm-hmm. So I've been here since then, about 7.5 years.
Yeah. It's pretty.
Yeah, it will be 8 years this September.
Right.
So, yeah.
So how would you describe your life in the United States as an Asian Indian?
As an Asian Indian, I like people, okay? God has given me a personality where I like people. People can be comfortable around me, and so just that, it hasn't been, at first it has been a little challenge because I wanted to hang out with people more and they just wanted to do it on the weekends and not during the weekdays. Which is very countercultural for me as an Indian. So I had to get adjusted to that. But now I feel like I've come to terms with it. But yeah, life as an Indian here, I would say I do miss India, but it's pretty good.
That's good. Well, what would be the biggest difference between United States, Western culture and Indian culture?
Okay, the biggest difference would be the lack of space. In India, you don't have a conception of space. Everybody's always in your business. And as an extrovert, I like that. I like the fact that everybody's close to you, you're open to everybody, and everybody's open to you. But here in the States, people need their space, and it might not be to my liking, but it's about people, it's not about me. So that has been a huge adjustment. Other than that, because I have been surrounded by a lot of Christians, and all the non-Christians that I have surrounded myself with are Indian, so there hasn't been much of a transition.
Yeah.
Because Christian community, even anywhere, they're just warm and inviting, and everybody's communal. So I don't like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sure you noticed this, and we're living in Research Triangle Park area. There are lots of Indians living in Mooresville and Cary area. I guess there are about more than 60,000 Indians. Now, I noticed that there are Indians that, like you, coming directly from India. So we call them first generation Asian Indians. But also, they get married and they settle down here. They have their children and their children growing up as Americans. So they're Indian Americans. We call them second generation, right? So. I'm curious about your perspective. How do you see the difference between first generation Asian Indians and second generation Indian Americans?
I would definitely say I've interacted with both, and I've looked at them close quarters. So I kind of have a small idea as to what that is. I would say first generation Indians. Indians who came from India and who are living here, they are usually a little more rigid in the sense they want, in the sense that especially the Hindus, the non-believers, they want to hold on to their culture, and Western culture is completely different, you know.
Right.
So they try to hold on to Indian culture a lot more. And so the thing that I saw is, at least among the Indian Hindus, they become overtly religious, super religious. They wouldn't be that religious if they were back in India. But now that they are in America and in a country where it's not Hinduistic, they try to hold on to their religion more so, and culture more so that they won't lose a hold of it. And what it tends to do with regards to the second generation Indian Americans is that they kind of get fed up with it, because they see their American friends and their how free they are, and then they see their parents and how rigid they are, and they're like, man, I don't want, like, you know, they just, you know how kids are towards their parents, they just find it stifling and very suffocating, and sometimes they tend to go the other end. But I don't know if that answers your question.
Yes, definitely. So do you see more receptivity to the gospel among second generations than first generation?
I wouldn't say that they're receptive, but they're definitely open. Because the first generation, they, unless there's a huge trial or something happening, they wouldn't open up, because they're pretty set in their own culture. But whereas the second generation, they just want to be away from religion, because you know, the religion that they know is that of their parents, and they're not interested in that. But they're all, because of the present generation, just in general, everybody's open to trying new ideas, and it's all relativistic. So at least they're open to hearing about what you have to say and what you believe, just so they can know what you believe, not that they themselves want to follow that.
Right.
But they're definitely open to it. And the challenge that I've had to face, especially engaging with even Indian students who I would consider first generation, just because of their age, they're very relativistic, and they would say, oh, that's good for you. I am fine the way I'm living. My life is good. I don't have to worry about it. Mm-hmm. But it's good for you that you're doing what you're doing. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if I would call them first generation or second generation, because they're a mixture of both, the Indian students here.
Mm-hmm.
So that's about all the interaction that I've had with.
Now, what are you most passionate about?
The most passionate about, I like biblical languages.
That's your major.
Yeah, that's my major. And
by the way, what's your major? I mean, what's your major language?
My major language is Hebrew. I love Hebrew. Yes. It's just very artistic. I like the, I like the way it is. I don't know. It's just very poetic, and there's it's like a puzzle that you have to decipher, and I like that about Hebrew. So biblical languages, I would say reading the Bible in Hebrew and in Greek has been a revelation for me, and just reading the Bible in its original language has given me insights that I could not get reading a Telugu Bible or an English Bible. Definitely I would say that's one of my biggest passions. But another one of my passions would be cooking. I love cooking.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and my mom has taught me well, and I cook decent food.
Awesome.
So yeah, I love cooking.
So what kind of food do you cook? Like Indian food only, or just any kinds of food?
Basically, Indian food. I would be lying if I say I don't cook Indian food, because I do cook Indian food a lot more than the others. But I definitely try to venture out and fuse different cuisines. So I do like Indian Italian one day, or Italian Thai one day, or so just different cuisines, just blending them together and see what comes out.
Awesome. Can you invite me sometime?
Yes, absolutely.
Wow.
Yes, I love cooking for people.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, my last question for you is, what is the highlight of your life?
The highlight of my life, I would say definitely is the moment I got saved, definitely. Mm-hmm. Because as I was saying earlier, the joy that I felt at that time, I still remember as if it was only yesterday, as if it was this morning.
Mm-hmm.
Because that, I've never felt that before. And it was the day that I was transferred from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of our Lord. So definitely a high point, I would say.
Mm. Yeah. Amen. Well, Moses, thank you so much for sharing your personal story.
Yes, sir.
Listeners, if you want to hear more podcasts from us, find NC Asian American Ministries at your podcast and subscribe it. You can listen to our weekly podcast update.